Amen. How many know he's mighty to save? How many know he's mighty to save? We thank God that he claimed victory over death. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. Are you glad about that today? And because he conquered the grave, and I put my faith and trust in his finished work. Anybody put his faith and trust in Christ's finished work today? You put your faith and trust in his finished work, then I know I have the confidence that, listen, one day I will rise too. Amen? How many looking forward to that great getting up morning today? Anybody looking forward to that? Especially in the days and times in which we live in, we're looking forward to the day when we will see him face to face. Amen? Amen. Just want to once again welcome you this morning to Encounter Life Church. For those of you, if this is your first time joining us, for those of you who are returning, we're glad to have you back this morning. And we pray that your hearts were encouraged in our time of worship as we worship our God and our King and declare that he is mighty to save. He's mighty to save. Amen. If he can save you from your sin, then also he can help you deliver you out of your situation. Amen. Anybody know that? Anybody know that? If he can, listen, if he conquered the grave, then he can help me conquer my issue with my finances. He can help me in my marriage. He can help me resolve that conflict that I may be in the midst of that doesn't seem like I can get out of. How many know our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine? That's the beauty of it. If I know he conquered death, then whatever else, and look, every situation that's negative in your life is a result of sin. Amen. Sickness is a result of sin. War is a result of sin. All of that, all of the drama that we face in life is a result of sin. And if Jesus conquered death and took care of sin on the cross, guess what? That means no matter what's going on in your life, you're more than a conqueror. Amen. Through him who loved you. So whatever you're facing in your life this morning, today, to know that you're more than a conqueror through what Christ has already done. That's why that's so important. That's why that song is so powerful, because he's mighty to save. He's mighty to save you from your sin. He's mighty to save you from the penalty of sin. He's mighty to save you from the power of sin. And he's mighty to save you that one day you will don't even have to deal with the very presence of sin. I'm so glad about it. Can we give our King a round of applause once again? Amen? Amen. Excited to be here this morning. It's July, and July is hot. Amen? Amen. It's a little cooler here this week. Air conditioning is doing better, but I know July is hot. It's a time where everybody's out traveling and folks enjoying the sunshine and enjoying the beaches and the pool and all of that. And I'm here to tell you that I feel like I need to jump in the pool this morning. Amen? Oh, I'll take my jacket off. The air conditioning is working. But I say that to say, look, when you're traveling in the summertime reminds me of just, it's vacation time. It's vacation time. And all of our kids, I don't know how many of y'all have been away, traveled this summer, anybody traveled this summer, been to the pools this summer. I know my sister Sheila always takes our kids to the pool. And one of the things that I always pay attention to when I go to the pools is the lifeguards. I always pay attention to the lifeguard. I don't know about you. When I go to the pool, I want to know where the lifeguards are. I want to know if they're paying attention. And I'm especially sensitive to the lifeguards because some of y'all didn't know I used to be a lifeguard. That actually was the only job I had from 15 all the way on through medical school. It was a lifeguard. My summers, I was lifeguarding. And one of the things that we used to do as lifeguards, every lifeguard, and now as a physician we have to do this, but as lifeguards we had to do it. One of the things that you had to take to get your lifeguarding certificate, you had to pass first aid and CPR. Some of you on your jobs, yeah, anybody else have to take CPR? Sometimes they call it BLS, basic life support. But we had to take CPR, and one of the things that I remember about CPR, y'all start wondering, what is Pastor talking about? CPR, pool, where are you going? I'm going somewhere this morning. Y'all bear with me. It really does have something to do with what we're talking about this morning. So when we take CPR, I remember when I was younger, one of the things they always would tell us to do, and they still tell you to do this today, if you've been in CPR on your job, CPR anywhere, what they tell you to do is when you come into a situation and you see a person in what? Distress. You see a person in distress on the ground right there, and you assess the situation, make sure it's safe, and then they have you to drop down, to get on your knees, and once you get down, if they're not, hey, Joe, you okay? Joe, are you okay? Joe is not responsive. And then they, you know what they tell us to do next? Get down and look, listen, and feel. I'm trying to look to see if I see their chest rise and fall, listen to see if I can hear breaths, and feel if they're breathing. To look, listen, and feel. That's one of the first things they tell us to do in CPR. And as I was preparing for our message this morning, I started thinking about, you know, some of us, when it comes to how we deal with people, we need to learn CPR. We need to learn CPR. We need to carefully protect and preserve relationships. We need to learn how to look, listen, and feel when it comes to relating to other people. And I thought about that. You know, a lot of the conflicts that we have with people and the conflicts we have in our marriages, conflicts we have in our family, is because we don't want to look, listen, and feel. And we're not practicing CPR when it comes to our relationships. This morning, we're still in our series called The Ways of the Wise in the Book of Proverbs, but we're going to be coming from the topic this morning, how to fight fair, fighting fair. And I'm going to encourage you and encourage myself, encourage us, that when it comes to our relationships with people, to begin to look, listen, and feel. When you come into conflict, all of us, those of us who are married in here, if you're married in here, you know about conflict. Anybody, any married people in the building, online? Amen. I heard one person tell me, listen, I've been married, I don't know how many years, it was over 30 at the time, and we've never had one fight. I'm like, you lying to me. If you've been married over 30 years and you say you haven't fought one time, either you lying or y'all don't talk to each other at all. Amen. That's just the nature of relationships. When you have relationships, you're going to have conflict. But what we have to understand, we got to learn how to look, listen, and feel. And a lot of the conflicts that we have with people in our home, in our families, okay, with spouses, with children, on our job, is because we're not willing to look, listen, and feel. It's our way or the highway. And the Bible has something to say about that in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to it this morning. But before we do, could y'all pray with me? Could you pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for your love for us. We praise you because you're mighty to save. Lord, you're mighty to save us, not just from the sin's penalty, but from sin's power and from one day sin's very presence. And we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that might and that power, that Lord God, that it will be made available, and it is available, that we would apply it in our lives when it comes to our relationships. Help us to be better listeners. Help us to understand and use these tools to resolve conflict, Lord God, in our marriages, in our families, on our jobs, in our friendships, so that, Lord God, that we might make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, so that the world can know that they know that they are Christians by the way that they love one another. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could you turn the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs 18. I'm going to look at two verses in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 2, and Proverbs 18, verse 13. It says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Verse 13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Today, I told you we need to learn CPR when it comes to our relationships, how to look, listen, and feel to what people are doing. I mean, what people are going through. And today, when it comes to the conflicts that you're in, all of us, I don't know what you're going through. There's somebody who's listening to me today here at home. You got a beef going on with a spouse, a child, a coworker, a neighbor, I don't know what it is, but God, listen, he does not want you to be at odds and in conflict and constantly fighting. Sometimes we like to fight. Anybody like to fight? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes we like being angry because I know I'm right. I'm the only one who knows they're right all the time. I know I'm right. So, and I don't want to come off of being right. I don't want to come off being right. You need to adjust. But God is calling us today to look, listen, and feel to our partners, to our friends, our family, so that we can resolve conflict, so we can keep a look at what the bigger picture is. Amen? And we look at our passage. It said, listen, a person who's stuck in only what they believe and not willing to listen to the hurt of somebody else, the opinion of somebody else, or what somebody else is going through, that person is a fool. I don't want to be a fool. And today I believe that we can have some lessons from the Word of God if we just learn to listen. Somebody say listen. We're going to use the word listen as our acronym for our points to give you 6 points on how to fight. Six keys in fighting fair when it comes to resolving conflict, when it comes in your relationships, whether it be your marriage or your job, your friendships, your family, whatever it is. 6 keys to fighting fair and resolving conflict. We're going to use the word listen as our acronym. Then the first letter in listen is L. The key, number one, the foundation, love must be the foundation. Love has to be at the foundation. When you want to resolve conflicts, it's all got to start with love. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we refer to that as the love chapter many times. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the thing. It said right here, love is what? It does not seek its own. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Today, in your relationship, you got to stop and think. First of all, love has to be the foundation. And I love it. Pastor Mac always says this. Love does what's in the best interest of the object, of the one who's being loved. Love always does what's in the other's best interest. And today, if you're in a conflict with somebody, love has got to be at the foundation. Love has to be at the foundation. Love says, let me not seek my own. Let me get off of my own opinion and listen to what somebody else is saying. Love has got to be the foundation. And that not only comes to your spouse. I can say that when it comes to your spouse, but you can say, my neighbor, I don't need to love them. They my neighbor. I don't even like them. But God is calling us, listen, he's calling us not to love, just to like, listen, he might have characteristics that are not easy to like, but God is calling us to love everybody, because why? He loved us. And I'm going to tell you, we were unlovable. We come to a God who is perfect and holy and without sin. And look, what none seeketh after God, the word says. And then God so loved the world, he says. He wasn't choosy about his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if the God of the universe loved me that way and I've been a recipient of his love, when it comes to my conflict with somebody else, love has got to be at the foundation. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, you can put it on the screen. 1 Peter 4, 8 says this, most important of all, most important of all, New Living says most important, NIV says above all, continue to show what? Deep love for each other, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers the offense that they have committed against me. Love covers their nasty attitude. Love covers even whatever the vendetta they got against me. Above all, have a deep love for one another. Today, if you're going to resolve conflict and fight fair, it's got to start with love. You got to stop in the middle of your anger and your frustration or your irritation with the person that you're at odds with. God is calling you to love them. And you know, when you're loving somebody, it's hard to stay angry with somebody God called you to love. If I got to love that person, I can't hold on to my stuff and still say I love that person. I got to enter in. I got to do what? I got to practice CPR. I got to look, listen, and feel. Today, God is calling you the foundation. If you want to fight fair and resolve conflict in your marriage, in your friendships, on your job, wherever it is, love has got to be at the foundation. Love has got to be out the foundation. But the next letter in listen is I. The next thing that you got to do is you got to identify with the other person's pain. You got to identify with the other person's pain. Too often we're stuck in our own opinion. But what love does, I love it. With CPR, I can't come up and say, such and such is hurt. You okay? You okay? I can't. Are you all right? I can't kick them. What they want me to do is they want me to get down on my knees. I got to get close and I got to touch him. And if he don't respond, then I got to get down right by his face and look, listen, and feel. Today, if you want to fight fair, if you want to resolve conflict, stop worrying about how you feel and identify with the other person's pain. Sometimes, do you know that hurt people hurt people? And some people respond to you in a way that is venomous. Or sometimes people respond to you in a way you're like, man, why are they so nasty? Because, listen, they've had hurt in their life. And until you identify with their pain, you can't understand how they relating to you. I was talking to somebody a long time ago who was upset. Somebody was treating them a certain way. And they just couldn't understand why they respond so negatively to me. Why are they so cold to me? And I'm here to tell you that sometimes people's response to you doesn't have anything to do with you. It could have everything to do with their mama. It could have everything to do with the person that they encountered before they got to you. Sometimes it don't have nothing to do with you, but you'll never know that until you look, listen, and feel. You got to identify with a person's pain. The Bible in Romans chapter 12, we're going to reference Romans chapter 12 several times this morning. Romans 12, 15. Romans 12 is one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That means you got to feel what they're going through. You got to care enough, and you can't do that unless you get in there and get close. Galatians 6, verse 2 tells us to carry one another's burdens, and in doing so, I fulfill the law of Christ. Today, are you identifying the person that you're at odds with? Have you taken time to identify their pain? And you can't do that if you don't listen. Let's go back. Put up our text, our main text again. What happens with us a lot of times, he says, listen, fools have no interest in understanding. A person who has no interest in understanding the other person's pain or identifying with the other person's pain, they call that a fool. In order for you to relate to people properly, you got to get in and get a pulse in what makes them tick. Why are they the way they are? And not just do that to be able to manipulate. See, this is a difference. You got to identify with their pain. Identify is almost, it's like you got to empathize. It's about feeling what they feel. Sometimes what happens with people, there's a way we can manipulate. We can find out what makes them tick so we can manipulate them. No, this is different. Don't figure out what makes them tick, why, what the hurt they have in their past, so I can touch a button and manipulate them to do what I want them to do. No, God is calling you to empathize and feel their pain. It ought to make you cry. What makes them cry? It said, weep with those who weep. When you hear it ought to make you cry. When you're concerned, and when love, that's why love is the foundation. When I love my brother or my sister and I identify with their pain, I'll weep with them. Instead of being worried about having my way, fighting fair, I dare you to try it. Remember that love is at the foundation. Even in your irritation, even in your attitude, even in the offense may be committed against you, understand that love is at the foundation. Identify. Remember that God loved you. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. Remember, love is the foundation. And then get in there. CPR. Look, listen, feel. Identify the other person's pain. I love all of these points, the word listen. And God just puts it together because one fits into the other. See, love has to start with love. And see, if I don't love you, I ain't going to want to identify with your pain. Didn't Jesus identify with our pain? He identified with us in every point. He became like us, except he didn't sin. Amen? He identified with us. And so but love caused him to identify with me. And when he identified with me, in order for me to identify with you, it's going to require me to do the next thing. The third thing is I got to swallow my pride. I got to swallow my pride. You got to put your pride on the shelf. The first, Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Don't think you know it all. You got to swallow your pride. That is the hardest thing to do. Listen, some of us are single people. But one of the things that I tell people is this. You know what? Your singleness is a gift. Your singleness is a gift. I know when I first got married, my first year of being married, me and Tracy said, man, this is not hard. This is easy. Everybody talk about how difficult marriage is. And Pastor Max is like, you know, talk about the challenges. This is not hard. Year one was easy. Year two was like, hold on. Year two was, I'll tell you, some of my friends were like, you know, talking about wanting to be married and trying to find a spouse. And I'm like, bruh, slow down. It ain't that easy. But one thing I can say after 19 years, praise God, of marriage, that what being in a relationship, in a crucible of a relationship of marriage, what it does, it requires, you can't stay married 19 years if you don't swallow your pride. You can't stay married 5 years. You can't stay married sometimes 5 minutes if you don't swallow your pride. Amen for the married folk in the building. And I'm here to tell you that marriage, I say that because marriage taught me to swallow my pride. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a single person, begin to learn to do that, to humble yourself, to walk in humility now. Practice humility, because in order for you to identify with people, sometimes people are going to say things to you don't want to hear. So, but it requires you to do what? Swallow your pride. In order for conflicts, the one reason why conflicts never get fixed, because nobody wants to swallow their pride. Because there's always, the truth always lies in the middle. Nobody's right all the time. Nobody's wrong all the time. It's usually right in the middle. But in order for you to be able to see what the real picture is, you got to swallow your pride. God is calling us today, if you got to love one another, you got to identify with their pain, and then put yourself second. Well, Philippians, that's what Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. Listen, you got to value people over yourself. That's so hard to do in this me society and me world that we live in. Social media is all about pride. Amen. TikTok, Instagram is all about pride. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. But if we want to resolve conflicts, it's about not look at me. Let me listen to you. Let me listen to you. Today, the conflict that you're in this morning, the reason why it might not be getting resolved, because you're not willing to swallow your pride. You don't have to defend your, that's the thing about swallow your pride, because look, we got to, the Bible says that the pride comes before a destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Look, I tell my son this all the time. And some of you have heard me say this. I'll say it again. I said, son, if you already know, you can never grow. If you already know, you can never grow. Stop saying, oh, I know that already. That's pride. No, you don't. Because if you knew better, you would do better. Oh, daddy, I know. No, you don't know, because I'm here telling you. If you knew, then this room would have been cleaned already. Swallow your pride. What you got to do, if we want to advance relationships, we got to love one another. Love must be the foundation. You got to identify with the other person's pain, and you got to swallow your pride. And the next letter in listen is what T, what you got to do is try not to be defensive. That's so hard. See, that's why, do you see the progression? Love the person. That's the foundation. I got to start there. Because what happens is, at each step, you're going to revert back to putting your hands up. You're going to revert back to ready to fight. So love, I got to remember, love is the foundation. I got to identify with their pain. Listen, I got to swallow my pride. And as I'm doing that, they might say something I don't like and I want to go back. But love is the foundation. Identify with their pain. Remember, they might say something that's offensive to me while we're resolving this conflict. But look, I got to identify. They're saying something hurtful because maybe they've been hurt. Let me swallow my pride. Let me identify with their pain. And what T, try not to defend. Try not to be defensive. That is the hardest thing to do. When somebody is approaching me about something that I've done wrong or that has wronged them, I'm like, but listen, let me. You don't understand where I was coming from. It's not the time. Just this week, we were having a conversation. My wife was having a conversation with somebody, and it was a family. It was a family conflict, and they were going at each other, mother and daughter going at each other, and daughter was sharing her heart and sharing her pain and what was going on, and mom was busy interrupting her at every sentence. Every sentence the daughter was saying, that now daughter may be dead wrong in her behavior, but when she was sharing why she was trying to tell mom, the reason why I'm doing this is because of things from her past and something in their relationship from her past. And as she was sharing her heart and crying out, mom said, stop raising your voice. No, you're not listening. Mom, cut her off every sentence. I'm here to tell you, try not to defend. Now's not the time for you to be talking. If I'm identifying with your pain, And I'm swallowing my pride, I got to sit there and take the blows for a minute. Because why? If the person says something that's not true, God is my defender. I don't have to defend myself. Stand there and let them get it out. Because there's therapy in that. I need to listen. Because even when they say something that may be wrong, I got to listen through the pain to get to the problem. Try not to defend. Too often when our spouse or our children are sharing their hurts or somebody is sharing something with us, they say something we don't like, and we interrupt, and we listen long enough to wait for a gap in the conversation. That's all we're listening for. We're listening for you to slow down so I can say my opinion. No, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Try not to defend yourself. And sometimes in a conversation, you don't even have to rebut. You just need to take all of it. Take all of it. It might not even be the day for you to respond. You need to process it. Let me listen to what you're saying. Let me let it marinate for a minute. Yeah, they may have said something that hit me wrong. I know it's like, I'm ready to like, oh, she dead wrong with that. Let me say this. No, that's not the time. Just take it. Process it. Because a lot of times the person talking, God has to let them go through process too. So what God is telling you, try not to be defensive. Try not to be defensive. Let him be your defender. What is this? The Bible says, listen, Romans 12, 18 and 19, keep going down. Do all you can to live in peace with everyone, dear friends. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Look, you don't have to defend yourself. I got that. I can take care of that. You don't have to be defensive. Just listen. Love has to be your foundation. Then I look, listen, and feel. I identify with your pain. Where is this venom coming from? Where is this animus coming from? Where is this? What's the source of the conflict? What is going on? I got to identify with your pain. I got to really care. Weep with those who weep. And then swallow my pride and try not to be defensive. And then as you do that, the next letter in listen is E. It requires me to, as I'm in this conflict and we're dealing with the conflict and you all are resolving conflict, it really requires me to examine myself. You got to examine your heart. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God has to show me, Dwayne, sometimes you think you're right, but you're wrong as two left shoes. Sometimes you think you're right, but until you slow down and be quiet and listen to the other person and the Holy Spirit, you got to examine really what your motives are. Because you know what? We are products of our past and our environment, and sometimes we think we're right, but we got to say, the way we view in the world is wrong. I got to examine my own heart. That's what, when I swallow my pride, that's what it caused me to do, examine my heart. Psalm 139. 23:24, search me, O God. See, this is what you got to do in that argument, in that fight, in that conflict. You got to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Examine your heart. And a part of you examining your heart is asking God to reveal your heart, reveal what's in your own heart to you. Because we don't even know what's in our own heart. Our hearts will deceive us. We can convince ourselves of something, and God said, no, you know, you wait. You just, because we're prideful. God has to reveal to us what's really in us. And if we want true resolution of conflict, that's what we'll ask God to do. God, show me if I'm wrong. God, I want relationship more than I want to be right. I want the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace more than I want to be right. God, reveal my heart. Show me where I need to change. Show me if, excuse me, my cold, excuse me. See if there's, show me if there's any offensive way in me. God, and if there's a way that I'm stuck on, take my stony heart and make it into a heart of flesh. Have you examined your heart this morning? And your conflict that you're in the midst of it, I don't know, today we're in a world, we're in relationships, so we always are having conflicts of some sort. Sometimes they last longer, sometimes they're shorter. Sometimes we just let stuff just sit and we never deal with it because this work ain't easy. And my wife and I were saying the other day, you know, time doesn't heal all wounds. You know the statement, time doesn't heal all wounds? No, time doesn't heal all wounds. Time is just time. Sometimes them wounds don't heal like they're supposed to heal. I know it. Y'all heard me say it. I'm a podiatrist, and that's one of the main things that I do is wounds. And sometimes we got time, and that wound still don't heal. After time and time, we done waited. You done come to see me for the last 3 months, and this wound still ain't healed. So what means we're going to have to do some extra work. The reason why the wound is not healed is because there's some foundational problems. There's some stuff that is wrong. The wound won't heal if the circulation ain't right. The wound won't heal if the nutrition's not right. The wound won't heal if you keep stepping on it. If you keep walking on it, it's not going to heal. And so there's certain things that got to be taken care of for the wound to heal. Time doesn't just necessarily heal all wounds unless you got, there's some foundational problems. And I'm here to tell you, there's some wounds that y'all just let the time pass and y'all think, oh, I'm over it. No, you don't. No, it ain't. No, that it's not over. All somebody has to do is touch the right button. All they got to do is say the right button. All it's got to bring the right person, touch the right button, and boom, that thing open right back up again. You have to do the work. Love has to be the foundation. You got to identify with the other person. You have to swallow your own pride. You got to try not to be defensive and examine your heart. Ask God to reveal your heart to you. He already knows what's in it, but humble yourself enough for him to reveal what's in there. And then the final letter in listen is N. Never lose sight of the master's agenda. Never lose sight of the master's agenda. If you could put that picture up for me. Y'all see, I wanted to bring a bicycle wheel, but I didn't want to get too greasy this morning. But on your screen, hopefully at home, you see this bicycle tire on the screen. And I want you to notice something about the bicycle tire, this bicycle wheel. I want you to imagine if each of those spokes, or that wheel has spokes, each of those spokes represents one of us. Those of us in the body of Christ, those spokes represent one of us. And one thing I want you to notice, and the hub in the middle of the spoke, that's God. That's going to represent God. And the wheel surrounding represents the world around us in which we live. And my last point again, never forget the master's agenda. And I want you to notice one thing with this tire, the way this wheel works. The spokes, when they're connected to the hub, they're close together. Do you see that? They're in close proximity to one another. When they're closer to that center, that's how when they're closer to one another. And I just want, that represents you and I. When our relationships are in harmony, when we're connected to God and close in relationships, that's how God has designed us. The further away we get from the hub, the further away we spread. But I'm here to tell you, the way the wheel works in the design is, I told you the tire are surrounding it, the circle around it, that represents the world. What the master's agenda is, for us to be closely connected to one another and to him, so that we can be a picture to the surrounding world. So that the surrounding world gets an opportunity to be connected to God. That's what God is calling. That's the master's agenda. His agenda is to make them one. In John chapter 17, he said, Lord, make them one even as we are one. I want them to be close so that the world can know who I am. That's the master's agenda. And I'm here to tell you, when you're living at odds with people and constantly in conflict with people and not resolving the conflict, it blurs the master's agenda. God has called us to be in community. And in community, sometimes we're going to have conflict. Sometimes we're going to have disagreement, but we can't stay there. We got to listen to one another. We got to practice CPR. We got to be carefully protecting our relationships by looking, listening, and feeling to one another. Looking, listening, and feeling each other's pain, and recognizing that love has got to be our foundation. And when I identify with you, I have to swallow my pride and not be defensive and examine my heart so that the master's agenda can be accomplished. What does he want? He wants to draw all men to himself. He wants to draw all men to himself. That's what John 17, verse 23 says. See, when we are walking in unity and oneness, you don't have to turn there. That verse won't be on the screen. He said, listen, when we are walking in the unity and complete unity that he designed us, he said, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. That the world will know that you sent me. What's the master's agenda? He wants the world to know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And one way he can do that, one way we can show the world that is by listening to one another and resolving conflict and living in harmony with each other. That's what God's called us to do. Today I encourage you, don't be so concerned about airing your opinion. Again, I always mention social media. Social media gives us a platform to air our opinion. And I don't know, anybody ever here been on a social media beef on a Facebook, Instagram? You ever been on a beef on social media going back and forth with some people on social media? I have. If you haven't, I have. And some things, it's very easy. You'll recognize, how in the world did I get into this? How in the world did I get pulled into this? Somebody says something that gets on my nerves that I say, I got to correct that. And I go and I say something, and they say something back. And next thing you know, Lord said, listen, you're a fool. Stop acting like a fool. You don't have to air your opinion. Look, the scripture's talking about don't answer a fool according to his folly. A person who's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. God said, listen, just listen. Look for the opportunity to show them the love. Identify, man, the reason why they're saying what they're saying is because they probably got some hurt in their life. Identify with their pain. Swallow your pride. Don't be defensive. Examine your heart and keep your eye on my agenda. And then what we'll do, in doing that, we're making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And as we do that, the world can know that he was sent, because they'll know we are Christians by the love we show to one another. Amen? Can y'all stand with me this morning? Fighting fair. Fighting fair. If you didn't get it, the point's up on the screen. Listen. Hopefully you get opportunity. You want to take a screenshot of that? You can. Hopefully we can practice that this week as we are encountering one another. I pray that there's somebody this morning who is in the middle of a conflict, that God has challenged you. God has challenged you. Say, look, okay, let me get some of these things together in my life. Because with the big picture is God wants, he said, listen, it's not his will that any perish, but that all will come to repentance. Can you imagine in the body of Christ, if we practice this in the body of Christ? There's so much conflict sometimes in the body of Christ.
In the church, we got folks fighting and back and forth. If we practice this in the body of Christ, do you know what the surrounding world would see? People living in harmony, not holding grudges, not harboring beefs, and resolving conflict and not letting it stay for years, and letting love be the primary foundation. People would say, what in the world is different about y'all? That's why the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask you for the hope that you have. They'll ask you when you start living like this. Amen? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you practiced CPR when it came for us to look, listen, and feel. That, Lord God, that you saw us. Lord, you made us and you saw the state that we were in. And Lord God, and you came to feel and identify with our pain and be tempted in all points like we were, but yet did not sin, so that you could qualify to be our sacrifice, to pay for our sin, to redeem us. We thank you. And so we pray today for those of us who may be in the middle of conflict or dealing with some conflict in our marriages or in our families, with our children, with coworkers, with neighbors, with friends. That, Lord, we've been holding on to some stuff that we don't want to just let go because we feel like we're right. Help us, Lord God, to prioritize the relationship over being right. And come and swallow our pride today. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you showed love for us. Those who were not seeking after you. Those, Lord God, who in fact, Lord God, were the ones putting you on the cross. You loved us. In spite of us, you care for us. Help us to love others with that kind of love. And let that love cause us to listen to one another. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Before we close, I want to give somebody an opportunity to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life today. We were at odds with him. The Bible says we were enemies of God. We were separated from God. But because he looked, listened, and felt, he came to identify with you. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He wants a relationship with you, and he did everything he could to resolve the conflict between you and God, between us and God, and he did that by sending his son Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. He said the conflict can only be resolved. There can be no forgiveness of sins unless blood is shed. That's the only way this conflict can be resolved. This gulf that's between us can only be bridged if there's a blood sacrifice, a perfect blood sacrifice to pay for your sin. And the only perfect one is God, so God became man so he could qualify to be your sacrifice. And he says if you just admit to him that you're a sinner, believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and choose him to be Savior and Lord of your life. He said he'll forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life and you'll never perish. But also he'll give you abundant life right here on this earth. If you'd like that relationship today, if you want to resolve the conflict that was between us and God, between you and God this morning because of the sin that has separated you from God, and you want to come to accept this Savior today, I'm going to pray a prayer of invitation. Won't you silently pray this to God if you say, I want to invite Jesus to be Savior of my Lord of my life and forgive me of all of my sins. That's your desire. Just say this silently to the Lord. Dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and that he rose again to make me right with you. Today, I choose to invite Jesus as Savior and Lord of my life to forgive me of every one of my sins, to make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, if you're online, I want you that form I told you to go to at encounterchurch.net/next. It's up on the screen. Go to that form. If you're online, go there and indicate it. I accepted Christ today. If you did that, we want to know about that. If you're in the building and you did that today, I want you to do something really bold. I want you to come see me immediately following service. I'm going to stand right by this piano. I want you to come up to me, find your way to me, and say, Pastor Duane, That prayer you prayed, that was me. What do I do next? I'm going to show you what next steps you need to take. Amen? I want you to meet me right up here, right up front. If you prayed that prayer, we want to show you what steps you need to take. Finally, before we close, somebody need prayer. If there's somebody needs prayer for conflict that you're having right now, you say, Pastor, I got convicted today, and I just need prayer. I got some conflict I'm having, maybe on your job or your family. Look, I want to pray with you and for you. Can I pray for you right now? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I pray for somebody today who's in here under the sound of my voice, who's on watching online, God, who's in the middle of a conflict and said, look, I'm the right one. They gonna have to adjust. They gonna have to hear me. God, you have convicted them to say, look, listen and feel. God, I pray now today that they will be the bigger person. Give and fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit to put into practice these points that we have gone through today. We thank you. And we praise you. And we pray even for the other person that you'll move in their heart. That you'll work a transform, that you'll bring a healing work. That you'll bring peace and unity so that it might be an example to the watching world. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. You may have your seat. Amen. Before we close out this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to honor God with your resources and your giving. You can give here in the sanctuary. There's plates coming around. You can give online by using the links that are right there on your screen. Cash App, $Encounter Life, right on the website, encounterchurch.net. You can give there. You can text the word give to 301-804-2520 and use the Givelify app to give as well. We are honored and we're blessed by your gifts that have allowed us to continue to do the work that God is calling us to do. We have some special needs here in the body. We definitely would appreciate your giving this morning to allow us to continue to do God's work here at Encounter Life Church. Amen. Amen. Reminder, if you're here, that prayer expressed a desire of your heart to invite Christ as Lord, please see me right here. Amen. Before we close out, look, if you're watching online or you're in the building, you say, Pastor, I don't have a church home. You want to know more about this fellowship, Encounter Life Church, please reach out to us. Go right to our website there, encounterchurch.net/next. Say, look, but somebody contact me. I'm interested. I'm looking for a church home. We can let you know more about this fellowship here at Encounter Life Church. We'd love to have you a part of our body. We'd love to have you come join one of our small groups that are meeting throughout the week. I encourage you, if you have not connected to a small group, please, you need to ask Sister Anika right here. Her husband, Damon, is not here today, but he's the one who puts out all those small group discussion questions. Please, get connected. They are a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Amen. Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, that you cared enough about us to look, listen, and feel. Help us to do the same thing with our relationships. Lord God, to be your hands and feet. To be willing to swallow our pride and identify with others. Examine our hearts and to keep our eyes on your agenda. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.